Chapter 1. Robot of Death. Space Ranger Captain Jethro Rogers exhaled deeply and saw his own breath in the cold night air. A cloud of vapor caught a highlight past the corner from which he was hiding. He grimaced and flattened tighter against the wall. Was it enough to give his position away? Did they already know he was there? For a moment he waited and listened, his right hand slowly clenching and opening next to his holstered laser pistol. All seemed clear. He moved stealthily to the next shadowy crevice between the stacked shipping containers. The late evening was quiet, as it usually was on the moon-based spaceport. Eerie, spider-like shadows fingered their way across the loading docks. Earth was half illuminated, suspended low in the black sky above. It cast a fluorescent bluish glow that washed through arching iron girders supporting a cluster of giant Duraglass domes overhead.
Frankie Malone!
Captain Rogers' voice broke the silence and echoed under the giant structure.
I have a warrant. You can't run forever.
Multiple laser blasts peppered the corner of the container next to Jet. Sparks showered and pieces of hot metal shrapnel from the storage unit fell at his feet.
It always has to be the hard way, said Jet, holding his pistol up close by his cheek.
He had walked into an ambush, but they revealed themselves too soon. He brushed a few glowing embers from his jacket sleeve, turned and slipped behind the next two rows of containers, working in a semicircle from his original position. Easing up to a support pillar, Jet peered around the edge. His hand rested on a control panel with two large buttons. Glancing up, he traced the conduit as it went up and over to a suspended motorized pulley system on the other side of the loading area. He pressed the top button. Electric motors hummed, and the pulley began to move. The sudden motion drew the gangster's fire again, revealing their pinpoint locations. Jet stepped out and countered. His shots were lightning quick with lethal accuracy. The exchange was brief, a few flashes within the blink of an eye. Weapons steady, ready for a possible second exchange, Jet waited for the smoke to clear, alert eyes scanning his surroundings. Four bodies lay in the alley ahead of him. One lay half exposed from the shadow of a dark corner. Two had fallen about 20 feet from their perch high atop some stacked containers to the alleyway floor below. The last had slumped over the controls of a forked lifting machine, causing it to jerk wildly, tearing a gash in the wall large enough for a man to walk through. Each body had a single small trail of smoke, slowly dissipating above dark scorches, like four candles that had been swiftly extinguished. The ranger strained to listen. All was once again quiet, except for the sound of a single pair of shoes fleeing through the gash in the wall. Frankie Malone. The ranger gave chase. Entering the warehouse through the opening, he barely caught a glimpse of Frankie before he disappeared behind some circuit panels at the end of the catwalk. He was running for his life and didn't dare look back. Jet found himself standing on a metallic mesh gangway many stories above the building's floor. It was the electric generator room for Zone 3 of the loading docks. Below looked like a small city of generators and turbines, topped with an army of electric insulators that rose up toward him like ceramic ice cream cones. The air crackled with sizzling and popping from enormous amounts of electricity, dancing along twisting copper cables that curved upward like giant curly swoop soda straws. Standing on the tremoring surface, the ranger felt, more than heard, a low hum from the turbines below, as it vibrated up through his bones and into his ears. This was a good place for a desperate, fleeing criminal to hide, and a dangerous place for a ranger who had just lost sight of his fugitive. The ranger needed a better view. He needed to get higher. Mounted to the wall near where he entered was a turbolift platform that ascended to a smaller maintenance catwalk, running along the ceiling above the whole power plant. Arriving at the top, he could see everything.
Frankie would expect pursuit from behind and not think to look up. Cautiously, Jet stepped toward the center of the catwalk, quickly scanning the maze below, left, then right. He kept his eyes peeled for any movement, a glimpse of an elbow, the barrel of a gun sticking from behind a corner, any small thing that was out of the ordinary. But this whole place was out of the ordinary, with many distractions from the noise and sizzling electricity. One wrong step could mean instant death. The temperature in this room was noticeably warmer than the air just outside. The volume of electricity produced by the myriad of giant turbines was enough to make a man start perspiring almost immediately. If not for the switching of duty every 2 hours from one half of the turbines to the other, they would eventually overheat. The transition was virtually seamless, with the only noticeable effect being the momentary dimming of the lights overhead. When this occurred, Jet glanced up reflexively to see what was happening. Unfortunately, so did Frankie. Startled to see his pursuer above him, the criminal sent a desperately wild shot, missing the ranger completely but striking the catwalk squarely, severing it in half and taking a few suspension cables with it. The total weight of the severed catwalk was too much for the remaining cables to bear. Immediately, with increasing rapidity, they began to snap loose. Snap. Snap, snap, snap. Then the whole structure gave way, swinging downward like a giant hinge, still attached to the far wall. The catwalk dropped beneath his feet like a trap door, sending the ranger plummeting toward one of the sizzling electric turbines below. There was no time to think. Jet saw a hanging cable about 15 feet away. If he jumped with all his might, he just might be able to make it. It was his only chance. He went for it. His left hand slipped, and the cable slid up his arm to his shoulder as he began to fall. He let go of his gun and slammed his right hand to his chest, trapping the cable against his body, fumbling to find it, then gripping tightly. He swung out in a large, swooping curve as he glimpsed a dizzy drop below and watched his pistol fall, smashing on the spinning turbines. The ranger's momentum swung him around, then sent him straight toward Frankie, staring aghast on the lower catwalk. The criminal was so stunned at the display of swashbuckling agility, he almost forgot about his opportunity to shoot until he saw the ranger careening toward him. Once again, more reflexively than with purpose, Frankie wildly fired as many desperate blasts as he could. He only got off three. One went astray. The second went through the sleeve of the ranger, missing his arm but leaving a stinging burn. The third and last shot completely severed the cable just above his hands. But by this time, Jet was close enough to give a precisely timed and perfectly aimed forward thrust kick, sending Frankie to his back and the laser gun sliding down the catwalk yards behind him. The ranger jumped to his feet, but Frankie had gotten up first. It was a race to the fallen gun. Jet took off across the catwalk in full sprint, tackling Frankie so hard they both almost went over the railing. With a quick, powerful thrust of his right palm to Frankie's throat, the ranger sent the criminal backward, stunned and fighting for air. Very few are equal to a space ranger in hand-to-hand combat. Jet rubbed his arm along the burned hole in his sleeve, picked up the gun and kicked back to Frankie the fedora hat he had lost in the scuffle.
I'll give you a second to catch your breath, Frankie, and then we'll be taking our little trip together. Your game of cat and mouse is finally over.
The gangster sat on the catwalk, his right palm flat to the floor, his left grasping his throat and rubbing. Strangely, a razor smile of satisfaction grew across his face, revealing crooked teeth. What could he possibly be smiling about? Was it a bluff, or did Frankie have more cohorts than Jet had previously counted on? Jet was sure there were only four others, and none of those was coming back to help. But what if he had miscalculated? Jet heard a mechanical sound just behind him, and the brief whirring of electronic servos. He attempted to spin around but was caught abruptly, two arms of iron wrapped around the ranger like a steel trap. His own arms were pinned to his side, and his chest creaked from the tremendous pressure. It was a robot, a heavy-duty worker robot from the loading docks outside. The ranger's hands reflexively opened, and the gun fell to the catwalk by his feet. Frankie lunged for it. The only choice was to kick the gun over the side.
You!
Frankie forced himself up, trembling from a combination of anger and shock. He positioned himself squarely in front of the ranger and threw a few jabs into his gut and one across his jaw. He would have thrown more, but Frankie sprained a finger with the last punch to the ranger's stout cheekbone. Frankie rubbed his throat again and struggled to speak.
Now, look here, you'll never get the best of me, copper, you see? Bet you didn't expect this now, did you?
The vocal strain was too much, and he coughed harshly. Frankie glanced at his watch and acted like he was late for something. He stepped out of Jet's sight behind the robot. It sounded like he opened a rear panel and punched a few buttons.
Look here, robot. Suffocate him.
Then he came back around and grabbed the ranger by the chin.
Now let's see who's the cat and who's the mouse, Mickey.
Frankie broke into a wicked laugh that triggered another coughing fit. With some effort, he regained his composure and pointed at the ranger.
You're gonna pay for what you did to my boys.
He picked up his hat, straightened his trench coat, then spat. With a final harsh and grating wheeze, Frankie Malone hurriedly left the scene, holding his sore finger and rubbing his throat. The bright red robot was not programmed to think for itself, only to carry out its instructions perfectly to the letter. So began the squeezing of the ranger, to the point he could no longer breathe. Jet glanced around, searching for anything that could ease his situation. Putting his feet up on the handrail in front of him, he pushed back against the robot with all the strength he had in his legs, trying to tip it backward so it would step to keep its equilibrium. It worked. Even though the robot was resisting, it was slowly moving in the direction the ranger wanted to steer it. He kept pushing, trying to guide it over to the service tool cabinet he had seen mounted to one of the circuit switcher boxes next to the catwalk. Time was getting short. If he didn't reach the toolbox before he passed out, it would all be over. Even if he did get there in time, he wondered if there would be anything in it that could possibly help. Every muscle began to ache and scream for oxygen. His lungs burned like he had swallowed hot coals. His head, turning beet red, throbbed and pulsed with the blood that was frantically trying to deliver oxygen it did not have to his brain. Every fiber of his body now craved a life-giving breath. The robot, if it wanted, had the strength to simply crush the ranger and be done with its job in an instant. Fortunately for Jet, that was not the command it had been given, allowing the precious time he needed to get the robot over to the tool cabinet. As the mechanical menace clumsily banged into the locker, it jarred the door wide open and sent an assortment of tools cascading to the floor. There, among the scattered tools, was a crowbar. Jet stretched with his foot as far as he could and was barely able to touch the crowbar with the tip of his boot, coaxing the bar a few inches toward him at a time. After repeated pawings, he finally got it close enough to reach over with his other foot. With both feet together, he attempted to raise it. His grip was not good, and when he got the bar halfway up, it slipped, fell to the edge of the catwalk, and almost went over. He was dizzy and felt as though he was about to faint. He only had one more attempt left in him. This last try would have to work. The bar was closer to him this time, so he was able to position his feet better and lift the bar successfully to his left hand. Turning the bar around, he fished for a place where he could get some leverage under the robot's arm, a place where the tip of the crowbar wouldn't slip. A dent, a seam, anything. He felt a bump on the outer shell of the robot's torso under its arm. Good enough. With his arms pinned, Jet pushed the best he could. The bar slipped off the rounded edge, but not before it had raised the iron arm enough to allow him to gasp a breath.
He performed this same maneuver several times until he was able to get his breath back somewhat, finding himself able to hold the arm up a little longer each time. Even though he had found an opportunity to breathe a little, he was still desperate to get free from the robot. He didn't know how much longer he could withstand the pressure being applied to his chest. Once again, he started fishing with the tip of the crowbar for a new place to dig into the robot's side, hoping to raise the arms up high enough to escape. After several unsuccessful attempts, fatigue set in. He relaxed, letting the bar slide down where it came to rest, on a ledge of what felt like the robot's service panel. Jet pushed the metal bar, and it slid inside the small door. The robot, sensing the potential for a short circuit, threw him to the floor. His lungs gulped air greedily. He was weak, and his muscles burned, but he ran fast as he could, determined not to let this mechanical crusher grab hold of him a second time. Stumbling down the catwalk, he came to a T-junction, stopped, and looked back. The robot advanced, eyes glowing orange and red, while two paneled doors on its chest swung open to reveal a deadly secret.
"What is this?" Jet muttered.
His eyes went wide, and he swallowed hard. Twin high-powered machine gun blasters swung out and down, locking into place, and immediately commenced firing. Jet dove to his right, taking cover behind a large circuit box hanging from the ceiling. What was Frankie doing with this thing? Worker robots were made to perform menial tasks like lifting and cleaning and maintenance in dangerous places, but this looked like something created for war. The walking destroyer fired a steady stream of laser blasts with the rapidity of a furious drum roll, making the rumble of the machines below pale in comparison. Debris fell and lodged in the spinning turbines. Sparks flew everywhere, and the lights overhead dimmed off and on. Giant blue currents of electricity arced up from the insulators below and grounded themselves onto the nearest, largest metal objects, like dancing artificial lightning bolts. The robot's single-mindedness to destroy the Ranger, with total disregard for everything else around it, was wreaking havoc, and it was about to get worse. If Jet didn't find a way out of there quickly, the building would be his tomb. All the main exits were out of the question. He would be far too vulnerable, exposing himself to the robot's direct line of fire. He looked around and saw what he thought was his only option. It was a long shot, but his lungs and legs felt better. And as much as he despised relying on luck, he was going to need a lot of it. The Ranger took off. The two breaker boxes fell, and the robot rounded the corner. Jet made it to the east wall in time, dove behind the last suspended breaker box, and eyed the maintenance service tunnel a little farther down. He would have to inch his way along a narrow ledge to get there, but first, he had to wait. If he went too soon, he would be dangerously exposed. As the robot got closer, he could gradually move back, keeping the breaker box between him and the robot as a shield. He only hoped it would stay up long enough to do the job. It was already pretty tattered and hanging at a precarious angle. The robot kept advancing, about the pace of an average man's brisk walk. Its torso was able to swivel at the waist, allowing it to fire in a different direction from which it was walking. With some distance still between the Ranger and the tunnel, his shield gave way, exposing him to his executioner. The wall erupted next to Jet, showering him with large chunks of electrical tubing and pressurized pipe debris. He leaped. The tunnel was a round hole in the wall, about 5 feet in diameter. A horizontal shaft about 15 feet deep, capped by a service hatch in the rear, led outside. Laser blasts swept right, across the middle of the opening. The Ranger hung from the bottom edge, fingers clasping the lower lip of the shaft. The robot adjusted its aim and lowered its guns, preparing to sweep back to the left for a second pass. Jet tried to switch his grip and put his back to the wall. His hands were sweaty, and his left hand slipped as he made the adjustment. He dangled by his right hand and strained his fingers to hang on.
He swung his legs to bring his left arm up and grasped the ledge again with both hands. With a jerk, he bent at the waist, kicking his feet up over his head, and propelled himself feet first into the shaft onto his stomach, barely avoiding the robot's second pass below. The sound of the blasting had stopped, but the explosions and electric eruptions only intensified. Jet not only had to escape the robot, but also this building before it went up in flames. Reaching the hatch, he put his hands to the big round wheel at the center of the door and strained. Nothing. It was stuck. Behind him, he could hear clank, clank, clank. The robot was making its way along the ledge toward the opening. More intensely this time, Jet strained at the wheel again. It still didn't budge. He listened. Clank, clank. The robot was close.
Oh, come on, he wailed. They never maintain these things like they should.
He leaned back and roared in frustration, kicking the wheel with both feet, hoping to loosen the corroded mechanism. He grabbed the wheel with both hands and strained to turn it once more. With a deep thunk, it cracked open, letting in the cool nighttime air from the glass-domed environment outside. There was a noise at the other end of the shaft. Jet quickly looked back. The robot was at the mouth of the tunnel, the paneled doors on its chest opening to release its fiery wrath once more. Jet reached out and swung himself onto the service ladder that ran up the wall, just outside the hatch. A shower of blasts narrowly missed him as he clung to the ladder. Explosions erupted behind him in the distance. The robot had struck several pallets of freeze-dried ice cream on the opposite side of the loading dock. Then a frightful thought crossed his mind. If that robot got outside, continuing its reckless firing with those cannons, this whole section of the spaceport would be vulnerable. Jet leaned over the hatch, being careful not to expose his hands to the opening, grabbed the door, and shut it, spinning the outside wheel to latch it tight. He looked around. He was on the opposite side of the building from the gash in the wall through which he had followed Frankie, three stories above the loading dock main deck. Jet looked up. His ladder extended two stories to the top of the roof. He could hear clanking again. The robot was trying to make its way through the tunnel. He climbed up. Something had to be done to stop this relentless monster, but what? This robot was virtually unstoppable. If Jet had his gun, this would all be over with one shot. His ability with a pistol matched the legends of the gunslingers of Earth's ancient Western times. But he knew that thinking in terms of what if and could have been was a waste of time. Surveying the roof, Jet saw five large, randomly placed breaker boxes. Taking a closer look, he noticed that the one nearest the ladder didn't appear to be attached to anything. None of them did. Most likely, they were old discards from the room below that were replaced and had yet to be hauled away. They were all about the same size, about 4 feet high and 5 feet square. The ranger studied the one nearest the ladder and thought for a moment. He walked around to the other side and pushed against it, testing its weight to see if he could move it. If only he could get it to the edge of the roof. It was heavy, and took all the strength he had left in his legs just to scoot it a little each time, but it was moving. If not for the lower gravity of the moon, he probably wouldn't have been able to move it at all. Inhaling deeply, he pushed with all his might as he slowly exhaled. He repeated this a few times until the breaker box finally eased up next to the ledge when he heard the service door below open. The robot had crawled its way through the tunnel. While it was in the process of pulling itself through the hatch, it rotated its head all the way around to see what was making the loud metallic screeching sound from the roof above, just in time to witness its own decapitation. With a booming crash that echoed through the girders of the dome, the breaker box hit bottom, smashing the robot's head to the floor. Peering over the edge, Jet saw the headless metallic body of the robot of death fall to join the scrap heap below. He sighed deeply. The ranger leaned back, placing the palms of his hands flat on the roof behind him, and straightened his legs. He was hoping for a moment to relax, but instead, the hair on the back of his neck slowly stood on end as he realized the evacuation sirens were blaring in the distance. He had been too preoccupied with the robot to notice them before. "Oh, great," he breathed. The roof was warm from the fires that had started below. Soon, it would become a blazing inferno if drastic measures weren't taken to extinguish it. He knew this was the reason for the sirens, which gave him a sinking feeling deep in the pit of his gut. This spaceport was constructed as a cluster of conjoined glass domes, reinforced and supported by a giant spiderweb of iron girders and crossmembers. In contrast to most edifices on Earth, erected to keep the environment out, this structure was designed to keep its environment in, with the extreme exception of uncontrollable fire. Soon, the three large corridors that connected this dome with its surrounding cousins would be closed off by massive downward sliding gates, forming an airtight seal. Then, giant louvered vents at the dome's summit would open, purging all its gaseous contents like an immense boiling tea kettle into the vacuum of space. The fire, having no more oxygen for fuel, would be extinguished. 2 minutes. That was the duration of the siren's call, enough time for everyone to move to the safety of one of the surrounding domes before the gates were shut. 2 minutes from start to finish, but Jet hadn't noticed when these wailing trumpets of doom began. He was probably still in the building when they started. The sirens stopped. The silence seemed deafening. Seconds later, the clanking of gears began the process of ratcheting down the monolithic barriers that would soon seal his fate. Fatigued and dripping with sweat, he exhorted his body to perform one last time. The nearest exit was a good 100 yards away to his right and 5 stories below. He breathed deeply, then shot off in full sprint across the building, running along the edge that dropped off to his left. Reaching the far corner with a desperate grunt, he jumped. In a diving leap, he stretched and gripped a chain hanging from a crane near the building. With a rasping sound of increasing speed, the ranger plunged 5 stories to the deck a little faster than he was comfortable with. He hit bottom, tumbled, then jumped to his feet. Immediately, he went back down, grasping his right ankle with both hands. Sprained. He looked to his exit. The opening was less than half open. In a galloping limp, he rushed to a flatbed cargo transport parked next to the wall. The ranger threw himself onto the buggy and mashed the accelerator, causing the car to careen sharply into the building next to it. A loud smack was followed by the sound of screeching metal upon metal as the car ran alongside the structure. Overcompensating, Jet jerked the wheel back to the left, causing the buggy to go up on 2 wheels, almost tipping over. Correcting his course, the buggy came down and started rocking back and forth, almost bucking the ranger from his precarious mount. With a few quick, subtle maneuvers of the wheel, he finally had control and headed straight for his exit. Jet wasn't sure there was enough time left. The gate was already lower than the height of the steering wheel. The buggy wouldn't make it through. He pressed harder against the accelerator, already to the floor, willing the transport to move faster. His vision became tunneled. The only thing that mattered to him was being on the other side of that gate when it closed. He watched it slowly slide down like a giant cleaver. Would it be his sheltering refuge or an executing guillotine? Fast approaching the diminishing gap, he gave the wheel a hard jerk to the left, sending the buggy into a sideways flip, throwing him to the ground in a violent tumble toward the opening. He stopped rolling, jerked his legs in, and pulled his arm close. His sleeve caught on the bottom of the descending gate as it clamped shut. Inches from the now airtight seal, Jet lay pinned to the floor by his shirt, as he heard the buggy smash into the door on the other side. A quick rumble followed by instant silence announced the purging of Zone 3. With a deep breath and a long sigh, the ranger closed his eyes and relaxed, savoring the much-appreciated moment of rest.